Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you again this evening. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's going to be on page 704. We'll read the second portion of this psalm. Remember, it's in an alphabetical structure, and we'll be looking at Beth this evening, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. This is God's holy and inspired word, so let us have ears to hear what the Lord would have to say to his people tonight. Beth, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I will declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the word of the Lord. Let's give him thanks for his word this evening. Our great and glorious God, we thank you again that you're so gracious and kind to us. That you speak your word to us in a way that we can comprehend and understand your revelation. Father, your word is precious. It instructs us in the way. It gives us wisdom for navigating life. Lord, it keeps us from sin and stumbling. Lord, we pray that your word would work in us in such a way that we behold the blessing there is in your word. But more importantly, how it reveals to us who you are and your Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of our souls. Lord, but not only that, in our meditation, in our delighting, in learning your word, Father, you teach us that we might not only just learn, but that we might open our lips, open our mouths to declare your righteous rules. So, Father, help me, as even now, I open my mouth to speak your word. Father, you're powerful, you're present, and your spirit is with us. So we pray for your help. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive the blessing that comes from your mouth, from your word. And we pray this in the word made flesh, Jesus' name. Amen. Last week when we were together, we meditated on Psalm 119, verses 1 through 9, and I laid out the idea for you that the collection of the Psalter here in this alphabetical structure reminds us of what is commonly known as a commonplace book. One-liners, often like proverbs that are given to instruct us true things about the major theme of God's word, God's testimony, God's law, God's word. And each of these sections of the psalm, all eight verses, use eight words. Eight words that teach us about God's word. Rules like statutes and commandments and precepts and testimonies. Now, four of the verses that are in Psalm 119 actually don't use any of the eight words. But five of the verses actually use the word words twice, putting emphasis there. There's a pattern in the Psalter, in the Psalm 119, but more specifically, remember, these meditations are like one-line proverb-type meditations written down in alphabetical framework to show us the beauty and the glory of God's word. With that being said, I want us to focus closely in on verses 12 and 13. And many of us have probably memorized Psalm 119, 9 through 11 particularly, but I often like to ask my students, especially when they recite those verses in my classes, okay, well, what's the next verse? What's verse 11 say? What's verse 12 say? What's verse 13 say? And so that we don't get pigeonholed in the first part of this psalm specifically, I want us to look at verses 12 and 13 more closely. Now, that's not to say that the surrounding context isn't important. No, remember, every word of God is beneficial to our hearts and souls. But let's look closely at verses 12 and 13. I want to read them again for us here tonight. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. I think our praise can sometimes fall short of its intended goal and its intended maturity and the fruit that it's intended to bear. If we see something praiseworthy and we admire it, we acknowledge it, but then we just keep it to ourselves. Praise in its most mature form is when you admire something or observe something and you share what you have seen, what you have heard, what you've encountered with another person. So praise in its most mature form is when it is shared with another. So the psalmist here gives praise, gives a word of blessing to the Lord. And he says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, with my lips, I declare. I go public. I herald. I proclaim all the rules of your mouth. When we meditate on the Word of God and His character, His power, His glory, His attributes, and His deeds are brought before our attention, is there any more appropriate response than to say, blessed are you, O Lord? Because is there truly any blessing apart from the Lord? Is there any good for the life of anyone apart from the Lord? Remember the old hymn of the church that says, come thou fount of every blessing. You are the source. You are the fount. You are the very source and fount of all goodness, all happiness, all blessing is found in you. Where else can we go? So that devotional hymn teaches us to appeal, to cry out, and so that we can recall to memory. But even better is the inspired word of God where the psalmist says, blessed are you, O Lord. I acknowledge your goodness. I see your glory. I know your mighty deeds. But it's not just his mighty deeds alone, what he has done, but who he is that the psalmist meditates on. You're not only blessed because of what you've done. You are blessed because who you are. All joy, all gladness, all happiness flows from who God is. The Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. Blessed are you, O Lord. And meditating on who God is and seeing his character and his attributes and his deeds, praise should rise up within us, but it should also lead us to a place where we want to learn more, to be instructed more in who God is and how he would have us respond to who he is. Because truly, in looking to God and knowing God, the way of life, the way of joy, the way of happiness is found in him, but we need to learn how to walk in it. We need to learn what the boundaries are for a blessed life, and where else can we go but to the Lord, for he is the source of blessing. So the psalmist says, blessed are you, O Lord, and therefore cries out, teach me your statutes. Teach me the pathway. Teach me the portion by which I can know this blessedness. Teach me. What does that say? It's saying, teach me because I am ignorant of these things. It's getting honest and really straight about our situation apart from the Lord. We need to ask him to instruct us, to show us his statutes. Because apart from him revealing himself to us, revealing his statutes to us, we are truly ignorant. So we cry out to the Lord, you are blessed, and for me to walk in blessing, I need to be instructed by you, the fount of all blessing. So the psalmist is crying out to be instructed in the way. Now, there are many different schools of thought to teach you how to live a happy life, a joyful life, a fulfilled life. But really, the only way to walk in blessing, to walk in the pathway and in the portion of true blessedness, is to learn that blessedness from the Lord. To see His goodness. To walk in light of His goodness. To see His power. And to abide and live and walk knowing that your God, Yahweh, the covenant Lord, is your God. Therefore, He will be with you. He will protect you. He is powerful. But apart from revelation, apart from God speaking to us about who He is, we remain ignorant. But yet, the psalmist says, I can learn these things if I go and am instructed in your statutes. Not in the ways of the world, not in the academic halls, but if I go to you, the true fount of blessedness, I will be taught. So teach me your statutes. What are you desiring and longing to learn? What are you looking at to fulfill and bless your life? There's no greater blessing than to be taught and instructed in the pathway, in the statutes, in the portion of the Lord. Declare to the Lord that He is blessed because it is true, but ask Him to teach you what it means to walk. The statutes, His pathway, His portion. What does it look like to walk in that way? We need to be taught. The gospel is a word that reveals to us who God is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. How we were wandering like orphans lost in a wilderness place. The Lord in His grace came to us, rescued us in our distress, took us up as His own, cleaned us up, washed us up, made us acceptable before Him by the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He not only brought us in as guests, He adopted us and made us His own sons and daughters. This gospel, this word, teaches us how incredibly good God is. And the more you're instructed in the statutes, in the way, in the gospel word, that praise should erupt in such a way, that joy should erupt in such a way, that you respond as the psalmist responds here in verse 13. He says, having been taught, having beheld, having seen who you are and how glorious you are, Lord, with my lips, I will declare, I will proclaim, I will teach, I will instruct now all the rules of your mouth. Having heard your decrees, having heard your final word, having reckoned with the Lord Jesus Christ, I will now open my lips and declare. I will go public with what I have been taught. See, brothers and sisters, we are taught the word of God, not so that we might just merely keep it to ourselves. We are instructed and taught the statutes of God so that we might openly declare who He is. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. Another good word for rules would be a decree, an unshakable, an unchangeable word of God. Will you, having seen the blessing that is in the Lord, will you who have been taught week in and week out, studying the Word of God in groups, hearing the gospel preached, opening up the Word in Sabbath school, will you who have been taught not respond to the psalmist by saying, now, open my lips so I can declare. With my lips, I will declare, I will announce, I will herald all, every single one, leaving nothing out, all the decrees, all the rules that flow from your mouth. I'm so grateful each week that I'm here on the Lord's Day. I hear the prayer and the desire and the call and the longing for renewal, the longing for revival, the longing to see God transform the landscape of our culture through the repenting of sinners, the bleeding of the saints and see culture revived to turn to the Lord in praise. I love hearing the hearts of God's people cry out and pray for revival. Revival begins by us seeing and hearing and knowing what God has said concerning His Son, and then reckoning in our hearts, being taught, being instructed, and receiving from the Lord. But one of God's means for renewal, one of God's means for awakening, not only the church, but the culture, is the glad tidings, the heralding, the declaring of who God is and what He's done, even out amidst the culture. How will they hear? Unless the preacher comes and declares. How will they know? How will they understand lest we go out from this place opening our mouths, declaring what we have been taught here? Surely, the Lord has established, the Lord has decreed that He would use us to go and to proclaim His words. He would use us who have been redeemed by the blood of His Son, not merely just to sing His praise in these rooms, but to go out into the streets, go out into our neighborhoods, go into our workplaces, go into our classrooms, go wherever your feet find you and gossip the gospel. Let's just admit, we're all good gossips. We all talk about what somebody has done somewhere else with other people. You do it all the time. We talk about what other people have done with other people. But we need our gossiping lips renewed. We need them, Jack Miller said, we need them to be baptized. Because we're good about talking about other people and what they've done. But yet we've been given permission by the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and talk to other people about what He's done for them, and yet still we remain silent about that. We need to redeem our gossip. We need to redeem our talking about other things, less important things, and talk about the one thing that matters. I'm giving you permission to go and gossip about the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and talk to other people about who He is and what He's done. He's actually given you permission to do it. He says go. He says to teach. He says to declare. He says to herald. And so when you go, wherever your feet find you, preach the good news of what God has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Having been taught, you have been saved, you have been redeemed to go and to declare, to herald, to teach. Remember, David, even after he had come to a point in his life where he had been confronted in his sin, he repents of his sin. He cries out for mercy from God in Psalm 51. And he calls out to the Lord in verse 10 of 51. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Purify me. Cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. But like I do with my students, what's the next verse say? Then, having experienced your mercy, having experienced your grace, Psalm 51 verse 13 tells us, then I will teach. Then I will instruct. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Does he not say in verse 18, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Having been confronted with our sin, but having been taught about the mercy and grace of God, David's response in his encounter of God's grace is to say, having seen this, having beheld your mercy, having received your mercy, Lord, I want to go now and teach others. I want to go and instruct others of the grace, the mercy that I have received. Oh, Lord, Open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. It was a habit of the early church to rise up in the morning, to wake up in the morning, and to pray just that verse. Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Lord, do the miraculous work of opening my lips and making your word come out. Do you desire that? Do you ask the Lord to do that? Well, I'm not much of an evangelist. I don't really talk that much with other people anyway. Ask for it. Ask him, oh Lord, open these stuttering, stammering lips. That when they're open, it's not the hot topics of the news coming out. It's not the next political gossip. It's not some pithy thing I learned on Facebook. But, oh Lord, open my mouth and out will come your word, your praise, your rules, your decrees, the good news of what God has done for sinners like me. You have been taught, you have been instructed, so that you can declare, do you desire it? Do you long to see and to respond and rejoice when you see your neighbors hear the gospel, repent, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Thanks. Well, then ask the Lord to open your lips, to open your mouths. Because once we've encountered the blessedness that is in the Lord and have been taught in his ways, the appropriate response is to not keep our praise to ourselves, but to go and to declare it to others. And so again, Psalm 19, verse 13 says, with my lips I declare, I herald, I shout forth all the rules of your mouth. Remember Paul's prayer at the end of Colossians, chapter 4, and verse 3. Let's start in verse 2. Paul says to the Colossian church, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. That means pray and keep praying and don't give up praying. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And here's his request to them, verse 3. At the same time, while you continue steadfastly in prayer, at the same time, pray also for us. Pray for me. We say it all the time, right? Would you pray for me? What's the request that often follows that when you utter it to a friend? When you utter it to a gospel brother or sister? Would you pray for me? Have you ever followed up, pray for me with this? Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. To declare the mystery of Christ. And then Paul says, on account for which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Paul, the apostle, the preacher of the word, makes a request to the church that they would pray continually and steadfastly, that he would be a man that when his mouth opens, it's the declaration of what God has done in and through the work of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you said to a friend, would you pray for me? That I might speak clearly as the Lord would have me do concerning the Lord Jesus to this particular friend or this particular neighbor. Paul's desire is that he would boldly open his mouth and declare what God has done, the decrees, the word, the power of the gospel. You, too, have been taught. You, too, have been instructed. So, will you go forth and share forth the glories of what you beheld in the glories of the gospel? Will you go and declare? Will you go and share? Why don't we go? Why don't we declare? Why don't we speak? Some of the answers that we might give and some of the answers you might be meditating on is, well, I'm fearful. Go and meditate on the love of God in Christ for you. Go and meditate on the glories of the riches of God's love toward you in Christ. Because it's a perfect love. And what does perfect love do? It cast out fear. And as you meditate, and as your heart is built in courage, and you begin to see how glorious the love of God is, go and give praise to this love by declaring it to another. You might say, well, I'm not much of a communicator. I'm not much of a public speaker, or one who goes around and looks for opportunities to share. Actually, I try to avoid those as often as I can. You're in good company. You're in good company. Because I remember as a young child, my favorite place to hide was behind my father's leg. I was terrified of people. My best friends were books, because I could read about adventures. I could read about people's lives without ever having to actually encounter the incarnated people. I loved them. And then the Lord saved me. Then the Lord saved me. And he began to show me the glories of the gospel. And slowly, with the encouragement of faithful friends, watching my dad lead a faithful Bible study in our living rooms on Thursday nights, hearing the gospel, I'm like, this is good news. This is life-changing news. I think I can do that. Go and sit with others who are good about sharing the gospel. Go and sit with others who see the beauty of the Word of God and declare it to others. Get to know them. Watch how they do it. Because there's something contagious about seeing someone else speak about the goodness of God. It encourages us to go and do it as well. It's always somewhat of a shock when I tell people I'm naturally an introvert. Maybe, just maybe, my wife to back this up, my books might still just be my best friends. But oh, how blessed is the Lord. How good and glorious it is. This is no burden for us to meditate and to see how good God is and how good he's been to us. It's no burden now to open up our lips to one another and say, come and see. Come behold as we declare the riches and the glories of the Lord. Really, I think one of the reasons that we are so slow to declare the beauty and the glory of the Lord, the blessedness that is in him, is that we become enamored with lesser things. Because let's all be honest, you talk about what you love the most. You can't help but talk about what you love. What is it, if we were to play the soundtrack of your past week, that you were talking about the most? We can't help but talk about what has captivated our imagination, what has captured our attention, and what we love. I think the real issue with us is often we become enamored with lesser things and haven't been really meditating on the glory and the blessedness that are in the Lord Jesus. The psalmist says, blessed are you, O Lord. And he wants to look into this blessedness. He wants to be instructed by this blessedness. He wants to be taught by this blessedness. He wants to be whole so that he can become conformed to it and then go declare it. He becomes enamored. What are we enamored by? Maybe you're thinking, wow, this is a lot of to-dos. Actually, the most practical thing I would encourage you to do tonight is take these two verses, maybe write them out on a note card, put them in a prominent place where you'll see them, and just start memorizing these two verses. Blessed are you, O Lord. It's true. And recall to memory, recall to mind all the beauties, all the glories, all the wonders of who God is and what he's done for you. Just rehearse those in your mind. How blessed he is and how blessed you are to be in covenant with him. And then, having meditated on the blessedness of the Lord, turn that next phrase into a prayer. Lord, instruct me. Lord, teach me. Lord, train me. Disciple me to walk in your statutes. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your pathways. Because what we find out is when we pray God's word, he loves to answer those prayers. So he'll begin to teach you. He'll begin to instruct you. And he will show you. And then, like Paul, take up the next phrase. With my lips I declare. Having meditated on who you are, having been taught, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. We cannot help but begin to speak about what we love. But what is captivating our attention? Turn these verses into prayer that makes petition. Lord, with my lips I declare. And what do I declare? What you have commissioned us, what you have commanded us to declare, all the rules of your mouth. Did not Jesus say, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them. Teaching them what? All that I've commanded. All that I've commanded. Every rule, every decree, every command. We have been commissioned as the church of God to obey this verse. With my lips now, I will declare all the rules of your mouth. Not only because I've experienced your grace, but in your grace, you have empowered and commissioned me to go and declare. Church, we have been taught so that we can go and declare. We have been instructed so that we might sing forth inspired praise, yes. But not only have our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes and our hands have been endeared, but God in his kindness has sanctified and redeemed your lips so that you might declare his praise. So I want to encourage you, if you find yourself lacking in obedience to God's command to teach and to speak and to train up disciples by teaching them all of his commands, go back and meditate on who God is. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to show you so that with your lips you can declare every single one of the rules that he has commanded. And how is he going to teach the nations? How is he going to reach the peoples of the earth? How is he going to reach your neighbors, your co-workers, your fellow students? Well, the psalmist says, with my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. He will use your lips and fill your mouth with his word. And that's how the Lord has decreed and ordained to reach the nations with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what have you learned? What have you become? What have you gotten today that you can take and say, this is good news. I will now go and declare. Because even today, even in this hour, we have been taught so that we can go and declare. Oh Lord, open our lips so that our mouths might declare your praise. We pray for the glory in the namesake of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing to the praise of God. Psalm 51, Psalm 51, selection D.